Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Robert Putnam as we talk about his work, Our Kids, the American Dream in Crisis. All right, George Norrie back with you and Robert Putnam as we talk about his work, Our Kids, the American Dream in Crisis. And we're going to take your phone calls this hour. And if you happen to be a young person, I don't know what age that would be, check in with us and tell us what you think about hope and about dreams and what you think about the future for yourself and for your friends. I wonder what kind of responses we'll get, Robert.
I'm looking forward to this very much. I've been looking forward to it all day, George, because I enjoy getting people's reactions to the issue.
The change out there, the climate that's changing, and I don't mean the weather. I mean just the attitude of people.
Yep.
It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you might think this is kind of the calm before the storm. I think that, well, let me put it positively, because Americans like to think more optimistically.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are previous periods in American history when we faced a problem like this. As I said, the turn of the last century, big gap between rich and poor. That was then called the Gilded Age. And there were a lot of poor kids in America who didn't seem to have any opportunity going forward, many of them, in fact, being immigrants. And then, in a very short period of time, Americans, really, the culture began to shift, and people began to worry about making sure that all kids got a fair shake. And they were also worried about, frankly, that maybe if that didn't happen, there would be violence in the streets, exactly as you were talking about before. And the most important thing we did then was we invented the high school. God did not invent the American high school. It was invented by reformers in about 1910. And the decision was we ought to get all kids in America should get a free secondary education. Up until then, only wealthy parents had been able to afford a secondary education for their kids. It was the best decision America ever made, George, because it raised the whole economic level of the country. It increased what economists call our human capital. That is, we had the best educated workforce in the world after we created the high school. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, it leveled the playing field because everybody had the same starting point. And that was a terrific decision. It paid off a thousandfold. And so I'm not pessimistic about America at all. Actually, we have this in our national DNA that we can work, and especially at the grassroots, in our communities, towns and cities and states, we can address this kind of problem if we put our minds to it. And that's what I'm trying to ask to happen in America is let's recognize what a big problem this is, and then let's get about fixing it.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll start by going to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius.
Hey, George and Mr. Robert, God bless you and yours and that great man named Tommy Danhuyser, my old friend. And you too, George. Robert, I'm really enjoying this, but I want to tell you something from a black perspective. I happen to be an African-American.
Sure.
I used to work for the U.S. Bureau of Prisons at Oakdale till I was fired because I became a whistleblower. And so then I became a federal convicted felon.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was hard for me to get a job and stuff. And with these, and I understand now from being a prison guard to being a convicted felon to being out to trying to get a job and then trying to get a pardon petition from President Obama and stuff like that. The thing of it is, earlier we gave second chances to people. Now
Yep. Nobody
wants to give you a second chance and stuff. But I did have somebody, I used to work at McDonald's here in Alexandria, Louisiana, and the lady there was named Glenda Stockton. She's a great woman. She gave me a second chance, but I was kind of too old because I can't move fast. And fast food work, you got to move fast.
You got to move fast.
You can't. And then the youngsters, the managers are telling me, look, you need to help Mr. White, try to get these burgers out and stuff like that. That old man, I ain't going to help him. So finally I said, I had to have enough. I had to quit. Because what was going to happen is we were either going to get into a fight or something, and I didn't want that.
Right.
And I just quit. So now, there's nothing for me to do now, and I'm trying. But I think you were wrong about one thing. We need God. that's one thing that's happened with this country. We've turned away from God. If we turn back to God, I think we would be a whole lot better off. When you were going to school and when I was going to school, I graduated probably 20 years after you did in 79.
Right.
We taught the Bible. We taught the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sure.
And all that stuff. After I left in 79, you taught American history, too, and civics and free enterprise. They don't teach civics and free enterprise and none of that stuff. They taught homemaking and all like that. Now they don't teach shop or nothing.
No, so that's right.
Kids don't have a chance to learn anything else. And it used to be if you got in trouble with the law, the judge would send you to the military. But now the military won't accept you if you've been in trouble. So kids don't have a way out. They don't have a choice. They got to join gangs. And the church should be trying to help them, and they're not doing anything either.
That's right. But you know, Cornelius, I don't want to interrupt you, Cornelius, but I have to say I agree with just about every word you said. I mean, and some of the things you said are included in the book actually that I've just published. First of all, I very much agree with you about the second chances. We used to give people second chances. And we don't as much anymore. I agree with that. I agree that the way in which we've gone crazy with locking people up, especially locking black men up, has caused part of this problem, because many, and you know this better than I do, many African-American communities around the country, there just are very few old heads. That is, very few black men who can serve as role models for young kids, and that has had a bad effect on the kids. I agree with you entirely about the role that churches used to play and could play, but are not now playing. I mean, one of the things that we found in this book is that church going, which used to be, you know, the heart of the working class, church going is way down among working class kids. So they're no longer connected with the community of faith that a church implies. And that's a serious, serious problem. So I think, among other things, that the faith communities of America ought to take this issue up. It's not like this is like worrying about the poor people is not at the heart of religion. I mean, read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus himself was talking all about the obligations that we have to poor people, and especially poor young people. So I think you're right on in many of the diagnoses you've given of what's gone wrong.
Let's go to Jennifer, somewhere out there. Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you guys that I really love the show, and I'm 19, and I'm not from the wealthiest family, and my father passed away, and we don't have a lot of money, but it's nice knowing that people are talking about people struggling with money, and if anyone out there is listening about who also feels the same, you know, I just want you to know that you're not alone, and there's programs out there that will help you. You just need to find them.
And Robert, here's one of your case studies. Go ahead. Talk with
Jennifer. My heart goes out to you, and I think it sounds like you're working hard and reaching out to find solutions. And what I'm saying is the rest of us ought to all meet you halfway and you know, try our best to help you get a leg up and again get started. I mean, I think you are speaking for 25 million young people in America who are, through no fault of their own, not getting the same head start as other kids in town. So you are not alone, and the rest of us should. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I really appreciate the wise words. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are afraid to speak out about where they're at in life, no matter what age they are. You can imagine a young adult trying to figure things out and not knowing where to turn. And I really appreciate just everything you guys are going over. It means a lot to me.
Jennifer, at 19, what are you doing now? Are you working or going to school? What are you able to do?
Well, when I was getting into high school was around the time my father passed away, so that was really a difficult time for me, and I left school. I went to a government-funded program, mm-hmm. and I got my diploma, but right now I'm still struggling to find a job, but even working at a convenience store will be the easiest thing at this point, I guess.
Well, and you'll make it happen. They're smart.
One day at a time, you know.
You get there. Hey, thanks for listening, Jennifer, and good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
You know, Robert, we need about 10 million people like Jennifer.
You do. Look, I need to tell you another story just quickly that happened to me the other day. I was talking at West Point about this same problem, and a young woman came up to me afterwards and said, "Can I speak to you privately?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "You don't know, but I am one of the kids that could be in your book. I came from a very fractured family. I was going nowhere, small town out west. I went one day, went out to track to just to run off my frustration, and the track coach took an interest in me, paid the fees so that I could take part in track, and he turned my life around. He was the first adult in my life who cared enough to try to help guide me.
Mm-hmm.
And that track coach was a turning point in her life. She's now on her way to being one of our major military leaders, actually. And
that
captures how just one action by one mentor can make a huge difference. And that's sort of what Jennifer needs. Somebody in her surrounding, some adult in her surrounding needs to take her under his wing or her wing.
Got a friend. She was born in San Antonio. She ended up living in Springfield, Illinois, 22, 23 years old. And my family just loves her. And she was having a difficult time, a very difficult time. Then we lost touch with her and found out that she was in a rehab center for all kinds of things, including, severe weight loss and everything else. But she pulled herself together, Robert, and now she's a Marine.
And, that's terrific.
Yeah, she's been in there 2 years, and she loves it. And, she'll get out soon enough and start her life. But she'll have a foundation.
Yep.
Let's go to Brian in Austin, Texas. Welcome to the program, Brian. You are on the air with us.
Yeah. Well, he made a mistake on that. The first public high school was in 1859 in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and was sued in 1874. And Kalamazoo, Michigan won it. So, the first public high school actually was in Kalamazoo, Michigan, 1859, not 1910, like.
No, I know Kalamazoo well, home of Kellogg's.
That's my hometown.
Yeah, it's a great city.
But if you search Kalamazoo Central High School, you'll find it on online.
More work for you.
Thank you for that correction, Brian.
More work. Hey, Brian, thank you. Next up, let's go to Mark in Wisconsin, first-time caller. Welcome to the show, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Good to finally be able to talk to you.
Great. Everything's well.
Well, I guess, yes, for some young people to call in. I'm kind of in the middle of being young and old. I'm 29. Okay.
Oh, you're so old, Mark.
I'm feeling it. But I guess I just wanted to kind of call in. I've been listening to, since mid-90s, since Art Bell, my dad kind of turned me on. And,
good for that. Good for him.
And just through talking with my friends of the same age and about whatever problem in the world, when you try to talk to them about what's not on the news or, things you talk about on your show, you immediately get labeled as conspiracy theorist, and they just turn it off. And I've always been an optimist my whole life, and year by year, slowly kind of fading away because you see how deep this corruption runs and whatever problem the world is facing.
And your phone's breaking up a little bit, Mark, but I think, Robert, we got the gist of that, didn't we?
I didn't get all of it, George, but I heard a lot of it.
It seems, just in the few young people calls, that they want this to work.
Yeah, sure they do.
I mean, they're not lazy. They don't, they don't not want to work. They want this to happen.
Yeah, and that is true in all of the interviews we've done with these kids around the country. It's not their fault. I mean, you could blame some of the adults in their lives for making dumb mistakes, but the kids did not make those mistakes, and we've got to be focused on what we can do to help the kids. And as you say, people like Jennifer are doing her darndest And she needs a little help from the rest of us.
Sure does. Let's go to Kyle, another anonymous spot. Welcome to the program. Kyle, you're on the air with us.
Morning.
Hey, Kyle. Good to have you.
So I just wanted to say that you're completely right on about how it's just the system is just totally tipped in the favor of the rich, and they control all the strings. And it's like, I'm 21 and I've been impoverished all my life, and you know, God bless my mom. I don't want to, you know, talk bad about her, but she made some dumb mistakes in her life. And you're right, it's just like people concentrate on that, and it's just like kids who were born into those kind of situations, it's like, it's not our fault. And, you know, when you're at the bottom rungs of society, it's just, you know, it's just hard to put yourself out there and be able to get a good education. You're right, none of us are lazy. We just, you know, we don't have enough jobs to go around. The prices of everything is going up, and it's like, it's just super.
Yep, you still there, Kyle? Well, we lost him. That would have been a good call.
Oh, I'm sorry. We lost Kyle, because I thought he was doing a terrific job of analyzing the problem.
Yeah, you know, what I was going to ask him, Robert, was what, if anything, is he doing to try to pull himself out of this?
Yeah.
Because when it comes down to it, everybody has to do this on their own, don't they? There's no handouts.
Well, no, but it's not a matter of handouts. I agree that he's got to, you know, take the charge of himself in his life. But he was being kind about his mom. But if you listen carefully to what he was saying, his mom is you know, kind of a not a terrific support to him. And
right, she made some mistakes, he said.
Yeah, and if you sort of think about the isolation of these kids, they don't have the kind of adults in their lives. This is the most damaging thing about it. They don't have the adults in their lives that used to be present in the lives of poor kids. I don't mean just their parents. I mean, you know, the neighbors and the people at church and so on. And in an earlier period and in a better period, when, you know, we could get back there if we were serious about it, Kyle would not be left alone. Other people would think of him, well, he's one of our kids too. It's not just, we shouldn't let the sins of the parents be visited on the kids in the way that we are doing now.
Well, and let's hope that when Kyle grows up and Jennifer grows up, that they have learned so that their kids might have a better,
yep,
better
that's
life.
That's the optimistic scenario, especially if we give them some help. But, you know, George, the negative scenario is that they won't, that they are themselves so badly damaged that they won't be able to pull out of that, and their kids will be caught in that trap.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with Robert Putnam and your final phone calls before we bring in Betsy Lewis and talk about psychic things. Wow, are people starting to watch Beyond Belief, our television program, when I let them in on a little secret? And that is, when you go to our website, beyondbelief.com, and sign up, you get to watch every program that the Gaiam Network does. Every program. David Wilcock, William Henry, so many others. Just simply go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back to Coast, final segment with Robert Putnam and your phone calls. Robert, we touched on the internet before. The social networking craze that is truly growing and growing by leaps and bounds. I mean,
Sure. We're
into it. We've been into it for years, and I see it getting bigger and bigger and bigger as well to augment everything else we do. Is that helping younger kids who don't have the income to be able to at least learn and peruse and communicate?
Sadly, no, George. The evidence suggests that even on the internet, there's a class gap, because the ways in which affluent kids and poor kids use the internet and the support facilities that they have or don't have, by that I mean other folks around them who can help them figure out how to use it, are very different. let me give an example. You could, of course, use the internet, and you could use, you know, any of these social networking sites as a way to find a good job or to be connected with people who could help you move up the ladder. That's the way that affluent kids use it. They use the internet and they use social networks as ways to help them move up. But mostly, poor kids use the internet and all the apps and so on as a kind of entertainment, and they don't. They don't have the right folks around them to help them say, well, look, you can use this to find out about the right college to go to or whatever. So the best evidence from all the studies is that, first of all kids do have, or almost all kids do have smartphones and use the internet, but the ways in which they use it are so different that the net effect is to widen the gap.
And what about the money for phones? I mean, are they left out, you know, when they don't have enough money for smartphones
and to pay that monthly fee? It's very interesting. We try to keep in touch with the kids we've talked to. We've talked to hundreds of kids across the country. We try to keep in touch with them. But what we find is often their phone numbers just go dead because they were unable to keep up the costs of the phone.
You call them back and they're gone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Michelle is in the state of Washington and now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Michelle. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, Michelle.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
George, I truly appreciate the fact that you brought up the manufacturing aspect of our economy. As an adult, well, I'll start in high school. I did not have support from either parent as far as going to school. My grandfather told me, basically, he was a wealthy person. However, he told me if I wanted to make my way in this world, I had two choices, either joining the military or getting married. And I said, well, I'll take care of myself, you know. So I had that grit. I went to college. I've had three careers in my life. And unfortunately, because of the economy, I had a really, beneficial position in manufacturing. And I was a credit analyst for years, where I made more money than I am right now. I was laid off because of outsourcing from three positions there. So I decided to go back to school. Get into the medical profession or the medical community administratively. And currently my position is being outsourced again.
Oh, no.
So, yes. So, as far as I'm concerned, three careers, continue to go back to school. And the end result of that is to find myself making less money, lower standards of life, making less money, of course. And with that being said, I have two young nephews that think I'm a hero, that think I'm,
Well, you are.
Very successful, which I'm humbled by and I appreciate. One of my nephews my oldest went to Le Cordon Bleu to become a chef. He's currently working as a customer service representative to collect past due hospital bills. So the money he invested, he still owes, but he's not in the career position he was hoping for. My youngest nephew is currently working in food and beverage for a beautiful family that have a successful restaurant business, who've taken him in, and his whole perspective is I'm not going to contribute to going to college to have debt when I get out of it, not with no guarantee to actually have a position in America, corporate America, or otherwise, to pay off my debt. And to me, I think it's tragic, but I can see his perspective.
Michelle, are you concerned about the future, or do you feel as if you've got it under control?
I truly am. I truly am. My youngest nephew, 21 years old, that's in food and beverage, God bless him, he's making his way, he's earning money, his restaurant feeds him and makes sure he's okay because they took him in as family. However, he sees the left-right paradigm. You know, you have the Bushes and you have the Clintons, and neither one helped the economy, neither one helped, you know, the children, the teens,
right,
the economy.
Right.
So that's truly my concern right now in America. It's not me.
All right, well, let's get Robert's reaction to some of these things you've just said, Michelle. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, anyone listening to this is going to be impressed at what Michelle's been able to do. She's done a lot of this, really, sounds like, on her own, and she's reaching out to help her nephews, and that's terrific. I mean, it's a wonderful story. But it's also a story in which, no matter how hard and conscientious she is, that she seems to be on a kind of a down escalator. She's running fast, and running up the escalator as fast as she can, but the escalator's going down. And that's the story of the American working class over the last 30 or 40 years. And we've got to find a way to change that.
Are we naive, Robert, to say you can change your life, you can switch it around, you can do it yourself? Is that realistic?
Well, look, everybody's got to do something for themselves. Of course they do, but actually...
You got to try.
You do, but you know, that's one thing to say that. That's true. But on the other hand, if you're talking about young kids whose parents have failed them in various ways, that schools have failed them and so on, it just doesn't make sense to say they've got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They don't have any bootstraps to pull on. And I think historically we had more concern... that all of us had a responsibility to be paying some attention to other people's kids who were in trouble just as much as our own. And I'm optimistic that in the end we can figure out a way to fix that. I don't think it's a matter of, you know, policy wonkery, what particular policy we're going to choose. I think that would solve itself if only we could find political leadership that would put this issue at the top of the agenda and really take seriously the question of how do you help the middle and working class.
Let's go to Los Angeles now. Ann's turn on Coast to Coast. Ann, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Good evening, George.
Hi.
I haven't talked to you for so long, but I just had to ask Robert. I noticed he said he was from the class of 59. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, well, you and I are about the same age, and
okay.
I have to tell you something. I don't know if you didn't mention this, and maybe I'm wrong. The teachers no longer have the same education standards as they did when we were young. And also, the nuclear family. When we had the nuclear family and Grandma was around, and all the neighbors had grandmas, and they would say, Jimmy Jones, don't do that. We'll tell your mother. It was everybody was a babysitter. The teachers would push us. And even if our parents were so-called poor, I come 5 generations from Los Angeles. Everybody here was so-called poor. Look at, for example, Compton. Everybody knows it's gun-toting and it's racist. But it's a mixed town. It's a bedroom community. And look at all the rich people that have come out of there in the industries of music, maybe, or football or whatever. But today the kids have to not give up. I felt so bad for Kyle and Jennifer. I just made tears come out of my eyes because I see what we're leaving them is something like a bunch of junk, not only the atmosphere, but the teachers aren't. I hate to say this. I have teachers. Half my family, I have a huge family. Half of them are in the industry of teachers, and I didn't realize it till they all retired. And the other half are in either firemen, policemen, or servicemen, and they're in the service of helping people. And all of my family's gone to college, universities. I went to college in 59, got out at 16 out of high school, and I went to college, and I had 3 scholarships. I denied the higher scholarships because I wanted to get a job and a career.
See, good for you. But not all kids who go to college these days get jobs in their chosen field. It doesn't happen anymore, Robert.
Well, you know, that's true. But on the other hand, it's easy to miss the fact that the kids who do have a college degree are inevitably going to be better off than the kids who don't have a college degree. So it's you're right that there's a job shortage that applies to everybody, but honestly, that having a college degree, it's not a guarantee, but it does give you a leg up. I want to say about Anne that I think she made some extremely good points about Compton now and then, when she talked about people being, you know, people worrying about other people's kids, moms worrying about other kids. My wife says about that period there was no such thing as an unauthorized mom, and teachers were very much concerned about their kids and helped, often served as informal mentors. And I agree with Ann. Unfortunately, that ethos has changed.
Well, it sure has. Let's take some more final calls. Mike is in Sacramento, happens to be a first-time caller. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George, I want to say thank you to you and your crew for everything you do, the way you keep us intrigued with knowledge night in, night out. You guys do a great job.
Thank
Please
you,
do
Mike.
Not stop.
Thank you.
Okay, I would like to say this. Here is the solution. I hope all politicians, you know, everybody who can affect this are listening. We need a complete overhaul of our high school curriculum. There are too many classes that we are spending time teaching our kids that do not pertain to life in whatsoever, like trigonometry, calculus. How about we spend that time and we spend our time and teach these kids about job training and different careers? I bet you, if you were to take a poll of graduating students, I would say 75% of them would say after graduating, they have no direction whatsoever. They do not know what they're going to do. But if we were to spend that time getting rid of these nonsense classes that do not pertain to real life, we would get somewhere. And so what these young people are going to learn, once they get out of high school, life is all about money. If you want to be independent, life is about money. I was wondering why in high school they never taught me how to make money, how to save money, how to invest money. But once I graduate, the job market, it's all about money. We need to teach these kids out of high school. We need to talk to whoever we need to talk to, and that's what we need to get done.
Good point, Robert. Run with it.
Well, I think I don't actually entirely agree with Mike, because I do think that for some kids who are heading towards some careers, the advanced math courses he was talking about, trigonometry and so on, can actually be useful and have a payoff in terms of long-term career objectives in the computer industry or in engineering or whatever. But I also agree that our high schools are not doing enough to help kids prepare for everyday life, including the kind of preparing kids for, you know, how to manage finances, for example. I think that's an important part for a thing that all kids need to know about. And I'd make one last point quickly. It's not just, we should expect our schools not merely to provide the hard skills in math and science and reading and so on, but also the soft skills, learning to cooperate, learning teamwork, learning grit, learning character. Those are things that used to be imbued in our kids that they've kind of been dropped out of the curriculum, and I think that's a shame.
It is a shame, but there's got to be a concerted effort to get this fixed.
Yeah.
Because I'm concerned about my kids' kids, my grandchildren.
Yeah.
That's the I'll be long gone before I got to worry about this, Robert. Next.
Well, you know, I've got seven grandchildren. My wife and I have seven grandchildren.
Good for you.
They're going to do fine, but I'm worried about what kind of world they're going to live in if they're living in America that is so divided in economic terms as it is now.
It's almost like
that's not a world that any kids ought to be inheriting.
It's almost like they have to be isolated. They can't, won't be able to go to certain regions of this planet and things like that. I mean, we see what's happening in the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see if we've got time for a couple more. Let's go to Bill in Pennsylvania. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Yeah, it's Wild Bill Pocono, the trick shooter.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Actually, my name is Felix, but, you know, it was touched on before briefly. You know, this, the economy, I listen to talk radio as a truck driver, you know, so that's one of the benefits of the job.
Yeah.
And I'm 55 years old, and I have no plans on any kind of retirement except for my Social Security. Me and my wife, we've always worked hard. We've been married to the same woman for 30-some-odd years.
Good for you.
You know, I got four kids, six grandkids, you know, and...
Are you going to keep working?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to work until I drop, you know?
Yeah, me too.
But the thing of it is that I've watched how things have fallen apart, and I really would almost like to write a book myself on the subject, because, you know, I listen to Rush Limbaugh and a lot of these other guys. I listen to a wide variety, anything from leftist radio, you know, to right wing. And The thing of it is that unfortunately I do believe that the quote-unquote one percenters, the elite, they are really to blame for what's been going on in this country, because we were sold out when they opened up all this free trade, you know, stuff. And that started with Ronald Reagan. We never competed with slave labor before. We had standards, you know, that we work within. There used to be rules to the game. And these guys that talk about free enterprise without any kind of rules, now all of a sudden we're allowed to, and, you know, they're allowed to hire slave labor overseas.
Sure. And remember this, the elitists probably, Robert, have never been into the inner city, into the bowels of the inner city.
Absolutely.
To see what's going on.
Absolutely right. There's what I said at the outset, this increasing segregation of America by social class, so that people live in, rich folks live in enclaves separated from the rest of the country. And part of the reason, frankly, that I, for all the stories that I'm telling in this book about poor kids, is that I want to sort of bring it home to more affluent people. Look, see how the other half is living here? That's not the way it should be, and it's dangerous for you if we don't do something to narrow these gaps.
Well, that's absolutely true. Robert, we are out of time. Your website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Your work is called Our Kids, The American Dream in Crisis. Let's hope it gets better. It's going to be an interesting presidential race, isn't it?
It sure will, George. Thanks so much for having me on. I enjoyed talking with you and with your listeners.
Great. Thank you so much. Up next, Betsy Lewis joins us. We're going to be talking about her work as an international psychic medium right here on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. We'll be back.